Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Good. Doing well. And you?
Well, I'm doing really well. And we've got a special treat. Sarah and Torrey Roberts are going to be here in the second half of the program. And if you've never heard Sarah Roberts speak, she's T.D. Jakes' daughter, and what a story. You know, I heard her at Women of Faith. I said, oh man, we've got to have her on. We've got to have our people hear her. She's so amazing. And so I can't wait for her to be on. You stay tuned, and yeah. She is really a woman of faith.
She has a tape series, Bible study tape series that our church uses, and my wife was in the study, and she'd come home every week, or they used it every other week. So every time they used her video, it was my wife couldn't say enough. It was just so incredibly challenging and fascinating and interesting.
Yeah. So
she'll be fascinating.
Stay tuned. She's pretty amazing. All right, let's just go right to the phones and talk with Cheryl right off the bat here from Pittsburgh. Hi, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Great. Tell us what's going on today.
Well, I have a son who just turned 24. He has been a heroin addict since 2011, and he's gone through a few rehabs and went through the Teen Challenge program, did very well, stayed clean for a year. He relapsed about a year ago and has gone through a few 30-day programs, but we've noticed each time he comes home, he makes it for about a month, and then he relapses. So I kind of have two questions. My first question is, this last time my husband and I told him we didn't think he should come home, and we had him move somewhere that's about 4 hours away from home. So I don't know, we feel bad about it, but I was just kind of checking with you guys if you think it's a good thing to do. We wanted to get him away from, you know, people, places, things.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Dave?
Well, I think that's so cruel. You shouldn't send him away. Hey, Cheryl, you're doing the right thing to a degree, but there, he can find everything he needs at wherever he is 4 hours away, because they're very. I have a son who's a recovering heroin addict. Was 10 years in the on the streets. Well, 15 years on the street. 10 years with heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally, at one point, had to press charges and send him to jail, which is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But it was a beginning of him believing me. And heroin is a tough one to beat, and Teen Challenge is a key treatment program for it. But you can't, if he's in recovery, you support him. The minute he relapses, you withdraw your support. You give him money, and it'll be used for drugs. It's automatic.
I think that's what we're so afraid of is enabling. I've learned a lot about enabling.
Yeah.
But here's what is enabling, is when he comes home, he doesn't just go a month and then one day decides I'm going to use again. He stops doing those things that he was doing the first week he came out of treatment, see? You mm-hmm. have to intervene when he stops doing the things that he knows are healthy, starts compromising, going back, spending time with people he shouldn't be with, late hours of the night. That's when you intervene. Say, wait, hey, today you started relapsing again. We're going to get you some help here versus waiting until he uses. Relapse is a process. It's not just a one-time event.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical or doesn't make sense or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Keffer November 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Talking to Cheryl. Cheryl, Dave has a question for you.
Cheryl, what kind of program have you and your husband been involved with?
Well, I've done Celebrate Recovery. We've gone to a lot of the secular rehab that he's gone to, the parents group program that told us what enabling was, and we've had some people suggest to maybe get him out of the area. He just turned 24, and we didn't know. Every time he comes home, he really doesn't even take time to work the program before he relapses.
That's when you intervene. See, he's home one day. He didn't go to any meeting. That's when you say, "Oh, wow, there's a meeting tonight. Let's go." You didn't go today, so we're not going to sit here and watch you not go to meetings again. We're not stupid. You know, we're not going to just let this happen again. Come on. You may be
That's not enabling. That's preventing relapse. Yeah.
Well, right. Things are different this time. We're healthier, aren't you? What's the matter? Come on, let's go.
But you have to really understand what you're up against. There's a meeting here that is for parents of kids who are addicted, and it's an outstanding meeting every week here in Southern California, but. There's meetings like that wherever you are, and whether they're secular or not, you find a meeting that is helpful, and you do celebrate recovery, but you don't avoid the other meetings because it's a long haul, especially with heroin. Heroin is one of the most addictive of the drugs available, and it's much more available now than it used to be, and it's dangerous.
We thought maybe having him be on his own. You know, we question whether him being at home and not having to worry about supporting himself.
Well, who's he living with?
I have a 16-year-old daughter at home, and my husband and I.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't know if it was a way to get him. You know, being that he relapsed all three times, he went to the facility you guys have out in Florida in November and ended up not wanting to stay at the halfway house. We ended up letting him come back home again.
That's where you say no, you stay at the halfway house. You know, those are the kind of things that Steve's talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
But who's he living with now? I mean...
He is with a guy. I mean, the meetings he does is more through church and not, you know, like the meetings that maybe he should be attending. He does more church stuff, but he's staying with a guy that he just met through a church that is not an addict, and he's tied in with the church group out in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And I've been helping him. That was my second question. I've been paying some of his full loans and that until he can get on his feet. I didn't know if I should be able or should be doing stuff like that also.
You've been paying his school. Well, I think paying some of his bills is different than giving him money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But heroin is hard to get over. I don't know how many times my son relapsed. When he finally got into a serious treatment process, and he He relapsed three times with Teen Challenge, and each time they let him come back, which was against the rules, but they have a heart, and
yeah,
they really are the ones that are effective with heroin. So,
yeah, I end up working for Teen Challenge now because my son went through the program. I got to know them, and I work up there, so I do see it. It's very sad, and it's, you know, I have parents calling all the time for help, and I think I'm just so afraid of enabling.
Well, I want you to have the insight that would say, I can't let him go a day doing the same kind of stuff he did before. I'd call him right now. I'd say, hey, look, what's going on? Are you doing anything different than you did before? You're staying with this guy? Are you going to other meetings besides just the church meetings that really didn't help you stay off the stuff? So,
See, the one drawback with Teen Challenge is that they don't use or even acknowledge the 12 steps, and so there's no sense of follow up. You do that a year long program, and it's effective, but it can even be more effective if you couple it with the 12 step work. And if a guy works the 12 steps, it works, and especially when you know who your higher power is—that it's Jesus Christ.
Amen. Okay. I thank you for answering my question.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you called, and I'm going to send you a copy of these 12 laws of life recovery. And I hope that those are going to be a blessing to you. And I'll send you the 12 gifts also, because I think you need both of those. And anybody else, if you give a gift of any amount, we'll send you the 12 gifts of life recovery.
No, the 12 laws.
Well, it's October now.
Oh, it's so October.
We'll do 12. The 12 gifts as our way of saying thank you for any gift that you give. We'll give you 12 gifts back. But if you want the laws, which we offered last month, that's what Dave was referring to.
Now, one of the staff guys here at New Life in Laguna asked me during the break what the difference is between the two books. And I said the laws are the principles of what works and what doesn't work and what it leads to. And the gifts are the gifts that you will miss if you just stop whatever you're doing and you don't get into recovery.
Or another way is that we say it is the laws are a cause and effect relationship, just like gravity. If you drop something, gravity will cause that to drop to the ground. It's not going to fly off. Well, just like there is a law, if you humble yourself, that's when you receive honor. Honor yourself, you're going to be humbled. So the laws are the requirements for you, like the requirement, the law of being honored, you have to humble yourself. Well, on the gifts, these are the things that just emerge. There's no thing, you don't do this to produce that. You work the steps, and then you experience these gifts. They rise.
And they're gifts. They're not earned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. They just come in to being, and they're just so wonderful. Like to have self-control, to be out of control all your life, and then all of a sudden you're living a life of self-control. What a gift. And so those are available to you. Okay, so now let's go to, we go to Sarah in Seattle, Washington. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
How can we help you today?
My husband, I just found out about 8 weeks ago that he was having an affair for 2 years. And it was sexual, but not romantic. It's busy distractions, and I'm just having a really hard time.
Had you suspected anything like that was going up?
You know, there were just a couple of times where, you know, one time there was a text, and I thought, huh, this wasn't enough, you know, hey, are you coming over? But, you know, he has lots of friends, he stops by, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And, but just, you know, being intimate, we haven't, just busy, we've got a 7 and a 9-year-old, and just, you know, kind of getting busy and distracted with other things and not remembering to to connect. Mm-hmm. And so it did seem like, wow, you know, he hasn't even been as interested, you know, in the past. It's like, hey, mm-hmm. let's be intimate more, and but I'm tired, or, you know, tucking the kids in. And
yeah.
So I know that that was part of it, but I did kind of think, gosh, it seems like he doesn't, you know, isn't as interested. So that struck me, but I thought, no, I don't
think so. Sarah,
I'm sure it's not that.
Sarah, how did he respond when you found out?
He was, you know, upset and felt horrible that, you know, that he'd been caught, for one. But, you know, it all came crashing down. I think he had some sense of, you know, maybe he would never get caught. And so we didn't really actually have to take to heart how bad that would be and so, how devastating it would be.
Yeah. What do you require? What did you require of him when you found out?
I just wanted to know, you know, how long it had been going on, and just, you know, details about how it started.
Well, what about his character? Did you require of him anything that would address the character defect that led to him being unfaithful?
I don't think I'm sure how to answer that. I mean, I definitely was saying, okay, what's going on and why would you do this? I mean, plenty of relationships aren't connected as much as they could be and don't have as much sex as they could be having, but one of the partners doesn't go off and have an affair. And so,
yeah, so when that happens, when that happens, it would be just kind of logical or expected that the wife would say, okay, so what are you going to do to fix the problem inside of you that led to this? Mm-hmm. Are you going to go to counseling? Are you going to Every Man's Battle? Are you going to join a men's group? Are you going to have an accountability partner? Are you going to get us into therapy together? What are you going to do to win back my heart? Those are the kind of things.
And how do I know that it's really over?
Yeah. And do you know?
Yeah, and he definitely is. I do believe it's over, and he's very just, I will do anything and everything possible to heal this marriage.
Okay,
I
good. Mean, so tell him.
He's very, very on board with that. And I guess that's really the core of my question was, even though I know that, and a big part of it is things from his childhood and his family growing up,
He has some
issues as far as trusting or feeling close. He realizes he's been kind of pushing away for years and didn't even realize it. But I think I thought I was done dealing with my stuff from childhood.
Eight.
And I know that's part of it, but my hurt and anger is still just so great. I don't know if it's too soon to feel any better.
Look, 8 weeks later, you're angry, you're hurting because he hasn't done anything. So he's talking. I'd do anything. Okay, I need you to go do something. I need you to go do something so that I can feel secure that the problem is being taken care of.
And
might feel afraid if you ask him to do anything, he wouldn't really do it. And then you would discover...
No, I do. I really believe,
Then why wouldn't you ask a man who's been unfaithful for 2 years to go get help?
Oh, I have. And we've been talking about, you know, should we go to marriage counseling? What do we need to do? We're actually going to our first meeting tonight.
No. I'm talking about him getting help for sexual integrity issues. He betrayed you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's big. That's not something that you both go work on together. You work on keeping your marriage together, but you don't work on his character together. You see what I'm saying here? He needs to step up, and you need to require it, or he's going to think less of you than he did when he stepped out of the marriage.
Sarah, you seem reluctant to expect anything from him concrete.
No, I'm not. I think part of it is that I know, he's afraid to face the things that are deep down because it was some really hard things, and he's scared at the idea of going to counseling. And I guess I hadn't looked at it from the aspect. I mean, I just felt like we just need to get where we feel like we can restore or repair what we have. And he said, you know.
Yeah, but you can't repair.
I know I need to fix my stuff, but it's scary.
Why are you talking about
and
your
stuff?
I know
that's a huge part of why he stepped out, but it's still.
Wait. Why are you worried about looking at your stuff?
Well, our.
Why are you worried about looking at our stuff? Your stuff, our stuff, are all a consequence of him not looking at his stuff and instead doing something outside of the marriage to try to take care of his stuff. But he's,
that needs to be fixed in order to really move forward.
He's the one that needs to be fixed before you can fix the marriage. You're going to try to fix the marriage. You're going to deal with the symptoms. I mean, go to marriage counseling, but he's got to do other things on his own to get his own self back on track.
We're going to help you a little bit more right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Dave Stupin. We're talking with Sarah. Dave, I ask you at the break what you think might be going on with Sarah, and maybe you could start there.
Sarah, how much of this do you think is your fault, of this affair thing?
Oh, I don't think it's my fault. I can see things in the relationship that, you know, got into more of a lull, or looking at it and thinking, I do treasure this, but do I show that every day? And I know those things are helpful, but that isn't the cause of an affair.
Well, I somehow get the feeling, though, that you're not willing to really lay the blame with him. What I always say about an affair is that there are contributing factors that create the vulnerability, but there is a characterological issue for somebody who steps across the line. And there are a lot of people who have the characteristics or the problems in their marriage that could make them vulnerable to an affair, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah. And when people talk to me, therapists say, well, what did that person do to contribute to the affair? I always like to say, nothing.
Nothing.
What they contributed to was a problem in the marriage, like many of us, contribute to problems in marriages. But like Dave says, it's the characterological problem that led to the marriage problem going into the affair. That's not something that you had anything to do with. And I hear such fear in your voice. Do you feel that fear that I hear?
I don't know. I don't know that it's fear. I completely agree with what you just said, and I feel that, yeah, there's contributing things that might cause vulnerability, but crossing the line is a whole other thing. To me, really my biggest thing and why I called is just the anger. I mean, I feel like I do really believe that he is wanting to move forward and fix everything, and he just is just devastated that he did this.
Well,
but
let's see.
I just cannot picture not being so angry and so hurt by it.
See, it was a good day when he got caught, because now he came out of hiding. It was a horrible day.
I'm glad of that, he said.
But it's a horrible day for you, because you realize how you've been betrayed. And the betrayal is why you're angry, and I'm glad you're angry, because if you weren't angry, you'd really make light of this. But I still feel you're making light of it, and you're not taking his issues seriously enough to say, you have to do some things to regain my trust, and they're going to take some time.
Yeah, I think that if you took this as seriously as it is, I think you would be afraid that you would sink into perhaps a depression or something that maybe you wouldn't come out of. And so you stay on the surface of the hurt, and you stay in the angry place. I think the hurt you might demand more from him rather than the angry person that's just wanting to express anger. And, you know, I want you to get this book, Surviving an Affair, because in there it really helps people like us who've been betrayed to see that, well, we're justified in our anger. But if all we ever show the person is anger, it's not going to get better. What we need to show is resolve that they need to do some major, major repair work. And we are confident that they need to do it, and we're confident enough in our future and in ourselves to demand it. Otherwise, we're faced with the fact there's nothing there, or there's much less there than we ever dreamed.
And the other thing is, 3-4 years down the road, if he hasn't dealt with his issues, you have that haunting fear of, would he do it again?
How will they affect us again? Yeah.
And so you've got to...
Yeah, and he knows that. He definitely needs, you know...
Yeah, but you need to
accepted that he needs to address it, because it's going to affect us.
Okay,
again. We've been talking a lot, and I am able to... Surprisingly, given this, we do talk really well, and we're able to...
It is amazing how it does do that. It opens up the communication lines.
But as long as he's talking, he feels like he's doing something. And so you want to move him into time to stop talking, get in the car, go talk to somebody else, go do the work that you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to suggest that you get the book, Surviving an Affair. I'm going to send you Dave's book, Forgiving the Unforgivable, and then I'm going to send you the book, Worthy of Her Trust, to give to him.
Okay.
And it's a no-nonsense book on character development after a fall. I would also hope and pray that you would say to him, go to Every Man's Battle. That's where men get their act together. That's where things start to change. Okay?
Okay.
All right. You hold on. I'm so sorry for what you're having to go through. Oh my goodness. But God loves you. God cares about you. God wants the best for you. You're just going to have to make some tough choices to experience that best. And you need some people with you that can support you and love you and let you know through their hugs that God loves you still. Okay? Okay. All right. Hold on. Oh, my goodness. I just hope and pray. She'll pull through. He'll step up. We'll have some healing there. Be able to report that back to you. When we come back, Sarah Roberts and Ture, her husband.
We've been married for 26 years, 6 kids. If this didn't work, I was ready to file.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to Dallas November 6th through the 8th.
Like they said, it's probably cheaper than divorce.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Artiber.
And I'm going to be talking about the 7 things that you need to stop right now and the 7 things you need to start doing in your marriage and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
The sparks are already rejuvenated.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Artiburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. We want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an every man's battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Artiburn here. Dr. Dave Stoop, as you know, Dave and I edited the Life Recovery Bible. Pretty amazing to see it as the number one best-selling study Bible on Amazon, on Christian booksellers. It's unbelievable. A recovery Bible for people recovering from anything. And all you got to do to get one, call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Go to newlife.com. Now, as many of you know, I started Women of Faith 20 years ago. I've heard a few speakers in my day. I've heard a few female speakers in my day because of Women of Faith. And so whenever somebody gets up to talk, I'm always curious, how are they going to do? You know, it's a tough venue because they're with some of the best communicators ever. So I was at Women of Faith this year a few weeks ago and heard that T.D. Jakes' daughter was going to speak. Her name was Sarah Roberts, and I was really excited to hear her because I'm a fan of her dad's, and I just was looking forward to hear what she had to say. Well, what she had to say was astounding, amazing. She did it in a way, it won the hearts of everybody in that arena, and I've heard her again since then, but it also won the hearts of those speakers at Women of Faith. Oh my goodness, what a thrill to have Sarah and her wonderful husband Ture on the program. Welcome, guys. Thanks for joining us here at New Life.
Hi, we're so honored to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, you are welcome. Now, Sarah, you're not only talking, but you're talking for two, aren't you?
I am talking and eating for two these days.
Yeah. So, how long have you been pregnant? We're excited to hear about that.
I am 5 months along, so I'm almost about halfway through this journey.
Oh my goodness!
Good
well,
for you,
seeing you at Women of Faith, it looks good on you. Whatever you're eating for two, it's doing well. Now, is Ture on, or is he with you, or?
Hey, Steve, I'm here. How are you?
I am doing great. And Well, you're a wise man. Just hearing your wife talk. Now, when she spoke in that arena with Women of Faith for the first time, did you realize how challenging that was for her to have a good experience there for people who've heard the best to be so astounded by her?
Yeah, we were, first of all, amazed to be in the company of the speakers. I have been privy to Sarah speak before, so I had no doubts about how it would go over, but it was amazing to see the people respond the way they did.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. Now,
this is Dave Stoop speaking, and I haven't met either one of you, but my wife has sat through your video series, one of your video series at our church, and every time it was played, she came home just enthused, challenged, and raving about the insights that she received from your work, Sarah.
Hmm.
Oh, wow. Well, that's so phenomenal. You know, it's very humbling when you're able to connect with other women and inspire them to really open their eyes to God's best and His love for them. And so I really consider it a privilege when they ask me to be a part of Women of Faith. I was like, are you all sure? I mean, it's such an incredible tour that has changed the lives of literally millions. And so to even be considered for that platform is an opportunity I certainly don't take for granted.
Hmm. Well, I just I hope and pray that women will do whatever they can or need to do to hear you, because it's just an amazing message. Now, I got to tell you, after you spoke, people wanted to create a T-shirt. They wanted a T-shirt to say, "Sometimes Jesus be busy." Because we'll never forget that quote from you. And that you were talking about your previous marriage when your husband was not faithful. And he had his person in the driveway sitting in the car, right?
Yes, that is for sure. And that quote, "Sometimes Jesus be busy," I really think it speaks to how we take matters into our own hands sometimes, because we know that the conviction of really taking things to God may have us in uncomfortable situations. But ultimately, as you learn when I tell that story, that taking matters into our own hands doesn't always work out for the better either.
Mm, that's right. Well, Teray, tell us about the church where, I mean, you know, Sarah, you're the first lady of it, but you founded, Teray, One Church LA. Tell us about that. How did that come about?
I did. I think for the most part, I was tricked and beguiled. We started the church 11 years ago, actually this month, and my background is business and marketing. And I was in corporate America for 11 years and doing well, and came to a point in time in my life where I just wasn't satisfied. I had everything that perhaps some people in this generation would want, but inside I was yearning. And I sought God, the God of my youth, whom I hadn't been too faithful to at the time. It was just one of those, if I get in trouble, you and I are best friends, but if things are going well, we'll see you later. And that didn't cut it, and got to a place where I really, really need to connect with the God of my youth. I attend a church, a Faithful Central Church, with Kenneth Omer at the Forum during that time, and developed a real hunger for God, and that ultimately led to ministry. And just a couple years after that, it led to me planting the church that is now One Church LA.
Well, now, were you and Sarah married then, or did that come later?
That came later. That came later. No, we Sarah and I met. Our relationship really progressed quickly. We met just under 2 years ago in a business meeting, and God would later reveal to us that it would be more than kingdom business. We'd be sharing. It'd be a life together.
Yeah, you were going to get down to business. Well, you and I have something in common. We have a lot of things in common. But one thing we have in common is we are married to, both of us have a wife who has an extremely high IQ. Mine does. I have a little boy that reads about 200 pages a day. He's so bright from her genes. But, you know, Sarah, I mean, I know that you were attending Texas Christian University at 16. You were in the top 10% of in the nation in high school. And you were out there also successful and still are as an entrepreneur and also as a person in ministry. And what a great blessing it is to other women, I think, to see you doing things that they want to do. And I think you're inspiring them to do. Did you know that that was going to happen? Or was that one of your goals in the beginning? Or did you just find yourself one day doing some things that other people only dreamed about?
I really just found myself one day really doing something that other people dream about. I started a blog out of really my own selfish need to kind of vent and, you know, to question my own journey and to connect the dots between what I'd learned as a girl in church but what I was living in real life in some of the most painful seasons of my life. And so as I began to write this blog, and as you mentioned, I was previously married. I was writing under that married name, so it wasn't like this T.D. Jakes daughter blog. It was just my own little corner of the Internet. It garnered the attention of over 1 million people in 3 months, and so I continued to express those thoughts. And one day I really just had to have a reality check, and I'm like, this is more than just your diary. You have the potential to really influence other people's journeys positively or to really live a life that is an example towards them. And part of that for me was really unraveling some of the decisions that I'd made in my most insecure moments, which included, you know, making the decision to divorce and really having this surrendering to God. And as I surrendered to God and let go of this idea of being who people needed me to be, but rather ask God, what do you want me to do with this voice, with this influence, with this platform? I really began to see my life change radically. And, you know, to Torre's credit, when he and I met, we really, you know, had a heart for people and had a heart for God. It really wasn't romantic when we first met, but as we began to really learn and know more about one another, we realized that our greatest power would be not just the love that we have for God and His people, but our ability to cover and protect one another in marriage. And I have become exponentially better since we in our relationship.
Teray, are you going to stick with that story? There was nothing romantic there from the beginning?
There wasn't. There wasn't.
That's cute.
Funny story about that, too.
Okay. Well, I want to come back and spend the rest of our time here with you guys. You're an inspiration to me and to so many. And one of the messages that I give when I speak at Women of Faith is that every woman needs to find her strong voice, live her strong life. And Sarah, you're an example of that. We'll be back after this.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we are back, and as you know, we rarely have special guests on the program, but I would just wanted to have Sarah on with Teray. They're doing a great ministry work. She is now pregnant. But while we're talking, I got a phone call, and they were telling me about this call. I want to go to Shirley, and I want Sarah and Teray to help her. Shirley from Philadelphia, did you have a question that they could help you with? I mean, they told me that you do, so ask them your question, and let's see what kind of help they can give you.
All right. Hi, guys. Thanks for answering my call.
Sure.
So the question I have is, right now, my husband and I are newly married. We're a young couple. We've been married 5 months. And we're our relationship with God are growing. We're trying to get our relationship with him as a couple there. It's not there yet. Hence, we're having a little issue with the wonderful debate of Ephesians 5, where women's or wives submit to your husbands and everything. We both have our interpretations, I guess, of what that really means. So I think, here, I'll just give you an example of something that we're going through currently. We got into an argument because I said I wanted to do something this weekend coming up. My husband didn't agree with it, so he got mad at me, just kind of pushed it aside, didn't talk to me for the rest of the night. The next morning, we wake up, and I just brought it up, what was the big deal, what's going on, and he just said he feels really disrespected because I didn't, do what he wants in a way. I don't know. So my biggest, I guess, question is, how can I be a submissive wife and when I feel like my husband's not doing his part, loving me like Christ loves the church? Does that make sense? Is that thorough enough?
That makes sense to you guys? Is that enough for you to help her with that?
Yeah. Sarah, you want to lead on this?
Sure. I think that part of the beauty of becoming one is that once you two are really beginning to form your relationship with God, or that issues like this come up, and I know it's crazy to say, how could this ever be beautiful, and we're clashing and things aren't necessarily going the way that we thought they would before we say I do, but I know that part of becoming one means that issues like this have to come to the surface. And so I just want to commend you for being open to really sharing this and not just swallowing it or making it seem like everything is okay, because that can be very tempting, especially when you are a newlywed couple. As I was a very strong, independent woman when Teray and I got married. I'd gone through some heartbreak, and so I'd finally found myself, and I was so protective over myself that the idea of submission for me felt like, initially, that I would lose a part of myself by submitting to him. And so for me, what I really began to work for is I began to pray through my relationship with God and really asking him to show me myself and not just fix my husband, was that I did struggle with submission. And my struggle came from, as I mentioned, feeling like I was going to lose a part of myself. And so there was a bit of a disconnect between us, even though we would have seemingly small issues come up where I would say, this isn't about necessarily submission. You just want to be the boss of me. But reality is that I was so afraid that that's what it was, that I began to create issues in our relationship. And just so from your perspective, and I'll let my husband speak about, a husband's role and in his perspective. But from your perspective, I would really challenge you to really ask God to search your heart and to really show you yourself, to show you your role as a wife, how you can serve your husband, how you can learn to communicate with him, and to recognize that doing so doesn't mean that you're losing a part of yourself, and that there's not necessarily a he's right and I'm wrong, that there will be instances where you're both right from your given perspective. And really, okay. It's about where can we find unity in this. So I think bringing it...
I'm sorry, Sarah. I just wanted to hear Teray's perspective before we ran out of time, which we're about to do.
Oh, please. Okay.
Okay. Well, first of all, Shirley, congratulations to you and your husband. And we're excited for you. Marriage is an awesome thing.
Thank you.
As Sarah alluded, you're welcome. As Sarah alluded to, it is the only relationship that forces these things to the surface. And I think that you mentioned that there's somewhat of a theological difference in your approach to the subject of submission. You have an interpretation, and he has an interpretation. And that's a little challenging, and I think that the way that the two of you ought to approach it is to, just to back up for a second, because I believe that every interpretation has at its root and its foundation both a challenge to love and a challenge to self-examination. I know a lot of men get excited about the passage that says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, and it becomes sort of a whooping tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's, no matter what, you need to submit to me. And the reality of it is that verse, if you really break it down, the word submission there is the submission that you would give out of a place of honor. And not it's not forced submission. It is, I am being loved, and I know that you, as the head of me, you're not the head that exists to serve the head. If you look at our bodies, our heads exist to serve the rest of the body. So it doesn't, you alluded to husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church, and then that sets up the submission. That's not necessarily the case. I think that we bring our best where we are, and God will do the rest. And so I don't think that you ought to be stepped on or anything of that nature, but I think that when we are working to love each other and to elevate each other, I think that some of those things that the Bible talks about will come automatic. You're not to be a doormat, nor is he to be a controlling person. But don't, in a way, you can throw that scripture back at him by saying, well, I'm not going to do it because you're not loving me as Christ loved the church. And here you have two people using the Bible as swords against each other, as opposed to using them to sharpen each other in love.
Well, speaking of the Bible, I think this is so wise. I'm going to send you every man's Bible. It is the best-selling men's study Bible. In that Bible, it's amazing. Right before it says for wives to submit themselves to husbands in 5:22 of Ephesians, it's got this other verse, 5:21. I don't know if it's left out of a lot of Bibles, but it says submit yourselves one to another out of reverence for Christ. So all of this talk about dying for her and submitting to him, is in the context of the first verse, 5:21, submit yourselves one to another. A mutually submissive couple working together to find what God wants for them, kind of the most powerful thing that can be unleashed on the earth. And I appreciate what Sarah and Teray have said, because it really is, nowhere would you ever have Jesus setting up a dictator doormat relationship where the man is allowed to be abusive or just be the boss. And so I think they have really clarified that so well today. I'm going to send you one of those Bibles, Shirley, and I'm so glad that you called. And you hang on, I'll get that to you. Sarah, I can't wait to see you again at Women of Faith. Teray, I hope we talked about me coming out doing some stuff with Every Man's Battle at the church. I hope we can pull that off. You guys are a blessing. You're a blessing to the body of Christ. I just pray for you. I pray for that little baby inside there. Oh, my goodness, what a blessing. And please, just know you are loved, you're appreciated, you're valued in God's church, and no more so than right here. Thank you for being with us. Hey, all of you, pray for us. We love you. If you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.